Grace and peace to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the Gospel reading, John 3, 1-17. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Lord our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Have you ever heard people say things like this? I'm so sick of working in this dead-end job. Or, it just feels like our relationship has reached a dead end. Most of us at one time or another have experienced aspects of life as being dead ends. In its more dramatic forms, people question the meaning of life altogether. The purpose for being born. Why am I even here? And so how powerful it is that into the context of our dead ends, Jesus speaks of a brand new beginning he has come to bring. In fact, even a new creation, a new birth to be born again from above. This is the picture Jesus uses today to describe what it is that God wants to do in his people. So as we look at this conversation today between Jesus and Nicodemus, our theme is this birth from above. And we want to ask and answer three simple questions about it. Who needs it? Who brings it? And who makes it possible? So the first question when it comes to being born again from above is, who needs it? The short answer is everyone. But let's see how this comes out in our text with a particular force. Here's how it begins. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. No one can do the signs you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. So the big thing to notice here is, to whom is Jesus speaking? Is it a person whose life is a complete mess? Is it a person for whom everyone in society would have looked down on them and agreed, yeah, sure, they need a new start? Is it a person hostile to Jesus? On the contrary, from a human point of view, Nicodemus is the sort of guy who seems to have it all together. He's very religious. He's a Pharisee. He takes his place in the covenant people of God seriously. He's zealous to live according to God's law. He's an esteemed teacher, even a leader of the Jews. And it's to this upright, religious, moral, esteemed man that Jesus says, what you need is the most radical change imaginable. A completely new beginning. Something that comes down from heaven, from above. Something you can only describe as a whole new birth. It's so important to see who Jesus is talking to here. Because it's relatively easy to accept that some people need a new beginning. Perhaps the people who we think have really made a mess of their lives, the down and outers. A bit like how some people think Christianity is only a crutch for the weak. It's good to have there for those who need it, but not for them personally who have it all together. But notice Jesus doesn't divide humanity into the good and the bad, the winners and the losers, those who have it together and those who don't. For him, they are all at a dead end without him. and so in need of a birth from above. He makes this point by telling the most religious and moral and esteemed human being he could find that even he needs God to do something completely new in him before he can enter the kingdom. Now, before we leave this point, it's worth thinking for a moment how Jesus' words can still speak to attitudes that creep into our own hearts. And since Nicodemus is talking to Jesus about birth, the example that comes to mind for me is how even we as Christians can sometimes be tempted to trust more in our earthly birth rather than our heavenly one. To look to our human family for our status and identity and security rather than God's family. In the Lutheran Church, we love to look at family books, don't we? I myself enjoy this, and I've been to some of your homes, and we've done this together, look through family books. You know the ones. The ones that remind us how just about everyone in the Lutheran Church is related to everyone else. Now, don't get me wrong. Our families are a gift from God. And we give thanks for the faith that is passed down through the generations. But we also do well to remember that ultimately it doesn't matter how many Lutheran family books my birth is listed in. The only birth that counts in the kingdom of God is my birth from above, the one that's written into the book of life. So who needs the birth from above? Everyone. Even and especially those who seem to have it all together from a human point of view. Next, we want to ask another question about the birth from above. Who brings it and how? Now again, there's a short answer we can give. The birth from above is brought by the Holy Spirit through the water of baptism. But here too, we need to dig a bit deeper. Poor old Nicodemus has a bit of a hard time in this conversation, doesn't he? In response to Jesus' call for all to be born again from above, he's confused. How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? So Jesus gives him some more teaching on this. Again, very truly I tell you, those solemn words. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Water and Spirit. So water and Spirit equals the being born from above. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is Spirit, Jesus says. Now, when we hear water and Spirit, we most likely think of baptism, which is good. But there's also a much bigger picture in the scriptures that this fits into, and we do well to think about this too. In fact, it goes right back to creation. Do you remember the second verse of the Bible? And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So water and Spirit in the original creation, now water and Spirit in the new creation. In the prophet Ezekiel, God gives this wonderful promise that I will sprinkle clean water on you and a new spirit I will put within you. Water and Spirit. In Jesus' baptism, he's in the water and the Spirit descends on him. And even on the cross, we have a very mysterious pairing where it says that Jesus gives up his Spirit and then water flows from his side. And remember, Jesus speaks of the cross about another baptism. Peter says in the book of Acts, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I think it's important for us to see that it's not as if Jesus just springs this water and Spirit business on Nicodemus out of the blue. Water and Spirit belong together in God's plans. And it all finds its culmination in Christian baptism. Now, be that as it may, Nicodemus is still having trouble at this point, and in fact, for him, the water and spirit issue isn't the biggest hurdle, it seems. He seems to be having trouble comprehending God's Spirit doing much at all. Nicodemus seems to be so focused on what human beings can and can't do that his world has become closed to God breaking in. And so Jesus, in his masterful way, gives Nicodemus a very earthy, a very everyday example to help him along. He says, "Don't be astonished that I said you need to be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses. You hear the sound of it. You don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Just take the wind, Nicodemus. The wind is part of your everyday life. The wind can have quite an effect on our everyday life, can't it? I mean, a windy day can really ruin a good picnic or something. And yet, do you see it? No. When a gust of wind comes by, do you know where it's come from? Do you know where it's going? No. So even with something as fundamental to everyday life as the wind, there's unseen things going on that you don't have the power to bring about. If it's that way with the wind, how much more with the things of God and the work of the Spirit in this birth from above? Now, in our modern scientific times, we could be tempted to think, well, we do know a bit more about the wind and the weather and so on. Or do we? What about the electricity issues in our own state? At the risk of mentioning what is a red rag to a bull for many of you, but just think about this. We have gained the ability to develop incredible technology to capture wind power and transform it into electricity on a massive scale. And yet, with all our ingenuity, there is one fairly fundamental thing we still can't do. We can't make the wind blow. We certainly can't make the wind blow where and when we want. Even more so is the birth from above. The point is that it's not brought about by you or any person or any power in this world. It comes from outside. It comes from heaven. It's a gift of God, worked by his Spirit, secured in baptism. So our final question then is, who makes it all possible? It's the Spirit who brings the birth from above. It's the Spirit who works in us to make us new creations. But then Nicodemus asks, how can these things be? How is this possible, in other words? And Jesus goes on to talk about himself and his Father, and especially his being lifted up on the cross. So that what makes the birth from above possible is the love of the Father in the giving of the Son to death on the cross. And to understand this connection, it's perhaps worth reflecting a little more on this picture Jesus uses today of birth. It won't surprise any of you to hear that actually I have no first-hand experience in giving birth. And yet I have it on fairly good authority that it's generally not an easy process. That as wonderful as the birth of a child can be, to say it takes its toll on the mother would be a dramatic understatement. Jesus is talking about birth from above, birth of the Spirit. But there's no birth without labour. There's no birth without the burden of the mother. There's no birth without suffering and pain. There's no birth without blood. The birth from above that the Spirit works in us is made possible by the blood of Jesus. And you could be forgiven for thinking that I'm stretching this picture of birth a bit far here. But actually, I think it's Jesus himself who leads us in this direction. Because as you go through the Gospel of John, one of the next times he uses this word about being born is in the context of his impending death and resurrection. He's about to go to the cross. And in this atmosphere of sadness, he says, when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. Her hour, that word Jesus always uses about his death. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. The birth from above is something personal which God works in you by the Spirit in baptism, but it's anchored in an objective and completed act in history, the lifting up of the Son on the cross, so that whoever believes in him has eternal life. This is the promise again for you this day. Eternal life, because of the Son lifted up, having been sent from the love of the Father. Eternal life, which is not just this life extended into eternity, but a brand new, qualitatively different kind of life, so that it needs a brand new birth. And notice one last important connection here. The close connection between the Spirit's new birth in us and believing in the Son who is lifted up on the cross. We could say the close connection between baptism and faith. God does work a new birth in us through the water of baptism, but ultimately we need to believe in it, to believe in what Christ is doing there. For an adult, faith may lead to baptism. For a child, faith may grow out of baptism. But in either case, baptism and faith belong together. Jesus says, "He who is baptized and believes will be saved." So who makes the birth from above possible? Jesus, who is lifted up on the cross, sent out of the love of the Father. We do all experience things in life which feel like dead ends. Even as Christian people, this is our reality. God's gift to you is that in these little dead ends of life, you need not despair or give up, because the big dead end has been dealt with in the birth from above. And for anyone here today not yet baptized or believing, he is reaching out to you today with the invitation to receive this precious gift. And if you just give me 30 more seconds, I'll finish with a very short postscript on our friend Nicodemus. He shows up twice more in the Gospel of John. The next time, when the Jewish leaders are plotting to kill Jesus, Nicodemus stands up and defends him, asking that Jesus receive a fair trial. Something's happening in this guy. Then right towards the end of the gospel, we have a wonderful little detail. That as Joseph of Arimathea, a secret disciple of Jesus, took the body of Jesus to be buried, it says, and Nicodemus was there too. So it would seem that by God's grace, this encounter with Jesus was not a dead end for Nicodemus. But it would seem he too was brought to faith in the Son lifted up on the cross and was born again from above. In the name of Jesus.